You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Amen. Let me just share a few thoughts with you this evening, and then some of the guys can come and just do a few housekeeping for us. Bless the Lord. Amen. Robbie, happy birthday for yesterday, man. Man, everyone's having a birthday in January. My daughter's birthday today, then my wife tomorrow. And I know Liz's birthday is next week. Or about 10 days or something like that. Right? So January is a very important month. Who else is having a January birthday? Any January babies here? Anybody else? Oh, wow. Wow. Anybody else here born in January? It's the best. You too. Wow. Sorry? Yeah, that's why I said it's the best month of the year. Amen. You know, as I survey the church today and I realize how fortunate we are as a culture, as a society, especially in the West, to have so many different expressions of church. You can go to a church that's quite traditional, where they're singing old hymns and still experience the presence of God in a place like that. And you can go to a church where it's full on loud, feels like a rock concert. And, if you're into that and feel the presence of God in that, you can go to a middle-of-the-road church where it's really quite simple and experience the presence of God. What I love about the presence of God is that God is no respecter of person. That it's not the style of worship or the type of people that determines the presence of God. It's the heart of the people that gather together. And I'm always grateful that as a church, we have people with one heart and one mind to come together and worship. Amen. 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 Come on, talk to me. It's okay. And so, but in the midst of all the different styles of church, I remember we went to a funeral. Pastor Malcolm Archer, if you don't know who he was, he passed away. And we went to his funeral just recently. He's been a significant figure in the Gold Coast with regards to raising the local church for many, many years. He was a good man of God, and I had the opportunity to have at least met him once and just really experience just the seasoning of the Spirit that this man had been through over many, many years. But I was in a funeral, and there was a young lady that was speaking about how, you know, and their church was simple, and there was no lights, and there was no, there were lights, but not, you know what I'm talking about by that. No laser shows and all that stuff. And there's no smoke machines. And I mean, I'm into all that stuff. I mean, I love smoke machines. You know, I think it's fun. But I think it just really drove something home to the point that God is not as concerned about our style than he is concerned about us moving with his Spirit. And I think if there's anything the church needs today, the church needs to see the Spirit of God move. I was just reading the book of Acts just recently again, and I want to just pick up a few things from the scripture tonight to share with you. And, you know, I was just really reflecting on the lives of the apostles after Jesus had ascended. You know, he just baptized them with the Holy Spirit. And they're walking around. Peter was walking around, and his shadow healed the sick. Remember the story in the book of Acts? And the Holy Spirit kind of just really dropped something in my heart about that. And God says, imagine a shadow of a man can heal the sick. Shadow represents darkness in so many ways as we know it. If your shadow can heal the sick under the unction of the Holy Spirit, how much more when we welcome the presence of God and the light of Jesus penetrates the darkness in our lives. Amen. Can you imagine? You know? And again, you see all these amazing paradoxes in the Word of God. If a whisper can create and form the world. Because the Bible says God spoke. God didn't make a lot of noise when he created the world. He just spoke. And there was light. It's amazing, isn't it? With God's gentle voice and his whisper that things could happen, how much more when Jesus returns and he comes back with a shout. Can you imagine what will happen on the earth when Jesus shouts? Oh, come on. That's something to be excited about. It just you begin to realize how immense this responsibility that we have as believers to really be the vessels of the Holy Spirit on the earth today. And I begin to recognize that in as much as God is not concerned about style, He's concerned about the spirit of the church, that we need to be more and more the kind of church that will not be drawn towards finding our identity and in our image, but finding our identity in the image of who Christ is and what He wants the local church to be. And the local church in this city has done a lot of good. Some have not so much, but in many ways the church is always pursuing ways in which it could reach the community. We do that through welfare. We do that through benevolence. We do that through so many different ways. Feeding the poor, you know, visiting those who are sick in hospital, visiting those who are in prison. We can do so much, but it seems that in the midst of all the things that we do, there doesn't seem to be enough good works to win the world, and there's not enough resource to do all the good works that we ought to do. Who knows what I'm talking about? There are parachurch organizations built everywhere. There are charitable organizations everywhere. The whole of Australia, I can't remember, it's a staggering percentage, the charitable organizations in Australia that are led and run by churches. I think it's about 90%. And that's how powerful the church is collectively when it comes to community outreach. But it's still not enough. We still have the poor, we still have the sick, and we still have, you know, those who are destitute even in our affluent society. And it brings me back again and again, what is good works or what are good works? In the book of Acts chapter 10, verse 38, this is what the Bible says about good works. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and I think if you're gonna talk about good works, Jesus is a good place to start, don't you think? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. I believe that every work of any Christian in any church begins with that. It begins with that and must end with that. It begins with the fact that we have been anointed by God to do what we are doing. Anything less than that, folks, is not worth the effort. Because you don't have to be a Christian to do good works, essentially. What separates you from everybody else, from an atheist that does humanitarian work, that works for Red Cross or anybody else, is the fact that you have been anointed by God. God has set you apart, consecrated you when you got saved, and anointed you, filled you with His Spirit. Hallelujah. So our motivation's different. Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then it says, He went about doing good. Somebody say doing good. So when I consider what was it that Jesus did that God deemed that was good, that was written in the Bible, what was it? Did Jesus run a feeding program? I guess some could say that He did a couple of times by feeding the multitude. Did He run a counseling center? Well, I don't think Jesus would qualify as a very good counselor by my estimation of the way He talked to some people. Not the way counselors are supposed to be today, right? Was Jesus, you know, a prolific preacher? We know only by the records that shows how good His messages were, but we know that when we really just read His message, it didn't really last that long when He spoke. He loved, He cared, and yet at the same time, He offended people. This is the Son of God that never sinned, perfect in every way. So when the Bible began to talk about Jesus doing good, that's in reference to the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God that was upon His life. Now Jesus in the book of Luke reflected on the book of Isaiah when it says, "For the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind man and to set the captives free. So Jesus was very clear from the very, very beginning of the kind of work that God has called him to do. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Regardless of what you do, you must never come away from the very essence of the anointing of God that God has placed upon you as a child of God. It doesn't matter if you're working as a teacher, you're anointed by God to set people free. If you are a carpenter, you're anointed by God to set people free. Come on, somebody. The words that you speak, the deeds that you show, the seeds that you sow. Amen. The Bible qualifies in the book of Acts chapter 10, 38, and it says, he went about doing good, and then it says, and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. It really, to me, summarizes the ministry of Jesus. That the goodness in the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus ended up in liberty. People being set free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of Satan. Come on, somebody. You know, as I listen to a lot of preachers today, modern day preachers, and a lot of my contemporaries, I'm astounded that no one talks about, well, this is probably a little bit sound judgmental, but there's not a lot of talk about righteousness and holiness and the demonic realm that is at work today to spoil people's lives. And I'm not saying I'm better than them, because I sometimes talk about these matters, but what I'm saying is Christians should not be ignorant, and we must not put ourselves in a situation where we become so intellectual in our understanding of the Word of God that it's nothing more than just information that we carry. It must transform our lives and transform the lives of others. And how does that happen? I know someone said to me, well, excuse me. I said, Ted, if you're going to preach, you've got to be relevant to the current generation. But you know what's relevant to the current generation is when they see the power of God moving, they can't understand it. I was speaking to a young man who was a cynic, and we're just talking about Jesus. And he said, Ted, I can't believe it. I just can't believe about this God that you talk about. And so I tried to explain to him historically how Jesus existed, you know, through his history books. And I tried to explain to him philosophically why Jesus truly was the man that he claimed to be. So I tried to explain to him, you know, empirically and logically why Jesus really makes sense. And I tried to explain to him in so many different ways, spiritually and even scientifically. But to no avail, he was still a cynic after our conversation. He was a good guy. I have a lot of time for him. And then I said these. I said, my friend, how do you explain it when I prayed for somebody and cancer left their body? You know what he said to me? I said, how do you explain it when we prayed for people who were blind and they started to see? How do you explain when we put our hands on somebody who was deaf and they started to hear? How do you explain that? Because I don't have science for that. I don't have philosophy for that. I don't have history for that. Well, I do have history for that. But I don't have all these studies to explain that, because no one can explain that. What do you say to that? You know what he said to me? I want to see that. Come on, are you hearing me? The church dies not because it becomes smaller, but it becomes powerless. And every single one of us, as part of the body of Christ, carry the anointing and the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is in the setting free business. He wants to set you free. And he wants you to be a freedom fighter. for the freedom of others. You know, I still get calls late at night when people have different issues in life, and not as often as I used to be when I was much younger. I think the Lord understands that, and He doesn't give me those calls anymore. Not as often. But whenever I do, I get very excited. And my kids would sometimes see me. I say, I got to go. And this is like late at night. I've got to go. I said, why do you have to go? Because I've got to go. Somebody needs to be set free. And I'd go to these places and I'd be in prayer. And you know what I see? And many of you are not privy to some of the things that I see and some of the things that the Lord does. I see people set free from all kinds of oppression all the time. In the middle of the night, I'd go pray for somebody and all of a sudden they would be free from sickness. They would be free from addiction. They'd be free. I've seen people with demonic things in their lives set free. People baptized in the Holy Spirit. See, my ministry, folks, is not here when you're hearing me. It's the things that I do that no one sees that God has called me to do outside of what you see in church. I say that to you not to tell you how good I think I am, but to tell you that same ministry God has given to every single one of you. Come on, somebody. Amen. Can you come up, Linfa, please? I didn't get to my key scripture tonight, but that's okay. We'll pick that up another time. I believe that we're going to see so many people set free in 2017. Not because we had a freedom meeting, but because you carry the power of God to set captives free. Amen. Every single one of you. Walk free, live free, set others free. Go about doing good in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that is my encouragement to you tonight. Amen? That is my encouragement to you tonight. That you carry this amazing treasure that is the answer to the problem of people that you connect with. Now, here's a challenge for you before you go this evening. And I'll call Brendan up to just tell us what's happening in the life of our church. And Robbie also will do our offering tonight. He'll share about that in a few minutes. I want to challenge you to say to God, God, I'm ready and I'm available for you to use me to set others free. I want to challenge you to actually pray that prayer and see the people that God will bring to you that actually need help. And see what happens. How many of you are willing to go for that dare? Expect God to do something. Amen? You're going to see great things. So, you know, I just want to encourage you tonight. The kind of church we want to be is the kind of church where Jesus is still setting people free. Amen? Amen?
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au and be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.